This is the Office Manager Diaries, a podcast all about the highs and the lows of professionals in office management around the world. We'll delve into their career journeys and diaries where they'll share their stories, tips for success, and only things office managers understand. Enjoy, and please remember to give us a follow. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode, season 3, episode 2 of the Office Manager Diaries. I'm your host Hannah Gray and I am here with Jessica Clement, who is the Office Manager at GC Partners in London. Hi Jess.
Hi Hannah.
How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. And I know we've spoken about getting you on the podcast for a little while now. And so it's really nice. I'm beaming today because we've known each other for some time now. I got very close this year on the things we're going to talk about in the pod, no doubt, today. But yeah, really, really happy to have you on. And I know you're extremely busy at the moment. So thank you for giving up a lot of your precious or some of your precious time to be on with me.
That's all right. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Pleasure. So let's kick off and find out more about you. You're from New Zealand originally, as people may detect as you continue to speak in this interview. But what brought you to the UK originally and how did you find your way into office management in that time?
I think for me, moving to the UK has always been something in my mindset. It's something I've always wanted to achieve and is quite a big life moment for me when I finally made that move over. I'm lucky enough to be one of the few that have a British passport, so it made the moving a lot simpler, not having to worry about visas and that process, which can be quite tedious. Very, very happy to be here. Been here for about 2.5 years now, just coming up to 2.5 years, and have no intention of going anywhere anytime soon, which is really, really exciting for me. Moving into office management felt like a really good step. I sort of have come from the administration, organization, scheduling and rostering environment previously, which then sort of evolved back in New Zealand into, you know, bringing on part of that health and safety aspect. So when I was first looking for roles, which were actually up in Manchester initially, made sense to move into that office management, personal assistance aspect, although those are two very different roles, it was an easier transition having that background behind me. So when I did decide to make the move down to London, I ultimately decided to go down the office management route and really delve into it a little bit deeper.
Yes, it was quite intentional for you, wasn't it, your search, I think, going forward, because we spoke, I interviewed you for the role that you're in now. And really pleased to say that you got it. Because I think if anyone has ever done recruitment before, especially if you're kind of the third party recruiting on behalf of the company, you tend to get this feel. And even if you've done recruitment internally where you've hired, you tend to get this feel when you meet people. It's almost like walking into that new home where you're looking at houses and you think, oh yeah, this is the right fit. And I had that with you. So was really, really pleased that you got the role. But you were very intentional. You didn't really want, you were happy to have PA elements, if I remember rightly, but you didn't want it to be a sole PA role. And that's because you found a passion and a kind of love for office management. Tell me more about that.
I loved the PA side, don't get me wrong. And I think having that really close connection with the C-suite, that level of management, I really enjoyed, but I didn't feel like I necessarily needed to hold on to that so directly when I had this entire other aspect of my role that I really wanted to delve deeper into. And that's sort of the communication with all teams on a much larger scale than what I was, you know, what you're able to do as PA per se. I think, you know, I found that coordination aspect, but also the health and safety point, being that person that people come to for support or for help or if they need anything, I've really enjoyed being that person. So when I was looking for a role in London, I was very intentional with what I wanted and what I was looking for. Everyone knows that the job search anywhere you go, but especially London, is incredibly difficult. So it did get to a point where there were a couple of opportunities where you'd sort of just put your name in the hat just for the sake of getting your name out there. But ultimately, I was very fortunate to have some really incredible recruiters on my side and sort of batting for me, you being one of them, obviously, and being able to get into this role, that the whole recruitment process for this position will happen very quickly. And I think that's, as you mentioned, the fit, the energy fit, the feel was just right. And it was the right place at the right time, ultimately. So very, very happy to be here. Very grateful for the opportunity, because it was a difficult few months, but here we are.
Yeah, I mean, that energy and fit, I think that is so important, isn't it? That energy and fit. And I think people know it's probably that, but no one really necessarily states that it is that. It's just that comfort, like stepping into an old pair of shoes that you absolutely loved. It is really important. So what does the business do where you are?
So we are corporate finance. So we quite a different environment from what I'm used to previously, but we do specialize in the currency side of corporate finance.
And I guess that makes you quite busy, and it's quite different from some of the environments that you've worked in before, which is where you've done sort of beauty and medical clinics, M&E, so mechanical and engineering contracts. It looked like, looking at your LinkedIn and remembering your CV from before, actually, this leak kind of specialist company, to more sort of corporate roles like where you are now in corporate finance, but also marketing positions. What would you say is your favourite of those sectors or industries, and why? I mean, what do each offer as an office manager or PA?
I think it's really interesting. Coming out of high school, I immediately fell into something that I was really passionate about, which was beauty, makeup and hairdressing. So that was, it felt intentional. It felt like I needed to go into something that I knew and needed to utilize those skills that I had been taught. So I spent the first few years of my career sort of going into the makeup industry, beauty therapy clinics, moving up to the laser clinics, which I absolutely loved, but ultimately it was very much a front-facing sort of mall, located at a mall, which, as much fun as it can be, was sort of the area that I wanted to start moving out of. And it was quite difficult, because I think I understood that I had to potentially look at changing industries to upscale and move into the area that I've really wanted to move into. So I went sort of from beauty clinics into an electrical company, a small family-run business in Auckland in New Zealand, and absolutely loved it and had a great time there. And I was very fortunate that they brought me on as their business administration manager, which was a huge step up for me from the front desk management position. So yes, quite a shift in culture for firstly, but also just a shift in responsibility, a shift in energy, a shift in management skill and personality, obviously going from beauty to a majority female environment into a majority male environment was quite a shift, but it's something you get used to, and ultimately it's all good fun. From there, I sort of took that role on knowing at that point I wanted to move over to the UK. So, you know, it was that step in the right direction that I really was looking for to get me over here and to give me that experience that I needed to do well and exceed in the UK. So coming over into Manchester, I then moved. Again, I appreciate I probably wasn't going to stay in the electrical field once moving over. Also, obviously, the way that people work from country to country can be quite different. So there's a whole new set of skills that they're looking for. I don't know the areas, for example, so I'd be really useless trying to send electricians out onto the field when I have no idea where those areas are. I don't know the locations. So it wasn't quite the right fit either. But I was very lucky that I got hired into a position with a company called McCann, which is a major marketing agency up in Manchester, who hired me while I was still in New Zealand, actually. So I was very grateful that they trusted me to actually show up day one, because it was a good 3 or 4 weeks before I actually started in the position when I first got offered it. So working in a marketing agency, you're dealing with a lot of different people. You know, I was within the SEO and PPC team, so they deal with Google, the pay-per-click. I was also dealing with the UX, the web development team. So again, a lot of different personalities, But on top of that, I was also working with, you know, the strategist team, the creatives, the design, the art, you know, all of these different cultures and different personalities, which was really, really exciting. And I absolutely loved that industry. And I think that was a really good in between the more casual environments, say, of like the electrical company versus what I'm in now, which is quite a corporate world. It was your balance of both, that hybrid aspect as well. So I had a blast in Manchester. I had such a great time there. I have a lot of love and respect for that company and what I was doing there. So moving into corporate finance was quite a jump for me, and it was quite a scary jump. From what I've said, obviously I haven't worked in a very corporate environment whatsoever. So it was something I was quite nervous to tackle, not knowing how fancy do you dress, how appropriate do you have to sound, do you have to act a certain way, you know, so on and so forth. But coming in on that first day, I think showed me everything I needed to see, which was just a really friendly group of people that were very open and willing to add to the culture and have some fun together whilst also working in obviously quite a serious, important environment. So it's been a real journey for me and a lot of very variables, but it's all led me to where I am today. And obviously I've just built a little bit of skill each point along the way.
I think both in the different environments in terms of the sectors, you learn so much because you learn a lot about that sector itself, but also in the different areas you work, as in geographically, right? So what you learn in New Zealand, you then take with you, but you grow and expand on that when you're in Manchester and the area in terms of Manchester and what happens locally and then in London. And I always say it's like different patches in London. If I work in the city or this bit of the city versus the West End versus this bit, and you learn so much in all these areas. And then the role itself, depending on the size and the sector and how the business is structured and who does what, when you just think about landlord versus tenant stuff, like if you're in a serviced office, you're not going to do as much or learn as much about facilities management versus where you now are, where we know in your particular building, you look after pretty much everything with the facilities management. So you're having to learn about heat exchangers and heat plate exchangers and all these other things that you've probably not come across before. So I think that's a really lovely outlook and perspective to have, is that you constantly learn in these industries, in these roles, and it just feeds, doesn't it, our passion, I suppose, and our the reasons for being in these roles. It's not static, it's constantly evolving.
Absolutely. And you know, I know I've mentioned that each of these roles have been really different and some of them quite polar opposite from each other, but through that, a lot of what I've been doing, a lot of the structure of how I've worked is the same, and that there's a lot that's been transferred over. Even just having worked for 11 months within an electrical company, now being an office manager and working with M&E contractors, it's sort of given me a full circle moment, in a sense that, you know, when they talk to me about RCD protection, when they talk to me about PAP testing, this is all stuff that if I hadn't have worked in that industry before, I had never heard of it before. No other companies I've had to deal with had to think about that sort of stuff, because like you said, I've been in serviced offices. So it was beautiful how everything sort of just aligned together quite nicely. Back up in Manchester, they were the ones to put me through your fire marshal training, your first aid training, IOSH training, all of that good stuff. So again, that's all sort of just led me to this point where I am now, where I've come into it with a really good skill set, although quite varied across a lot of different areas and industries, a really solid base to build that foundation off of.
Yeah, absolutely. East Saxon Training is a long-standing partner of the Office Management Group and a proud sponsor for this week's episode. David Hewitt, the owner of EST, has developed an excellent reputation among our office management members. He delivers fire warden training, office first aid training, and fire risk assessments, as well as general health and safety consultancy. And David's always happy to help with any health and safety related queries, especially within the office management portal. In 2023, East Saxon Training were voted by their customers as the Office Management Service Provider of the Year winner in our awards program. And with over 200 five-star recommendations, you know you're in good hands with them. If you want to find out more about the support and services they offer, visit eastsaxontraining.com or find them in the office management portal. And thank you to East Saxon Training for supporting this podcast. You have just completed an office move with me. Tell me more about that whole process and project. And off the back of that, are there any tips that you can share with the listeners who are doing moves going forward, Jess?
Yes. So I think I came in, I would have loved to have come in maybe 2 months earlier than when I did, because I think it would have given me a little bit more of that initial overview of where exactly where we were sitting in with the office move. But, you know, ultimately I came in when I did, and it was sort of just hit the ground running and try and get as much done as you can and try and just figure it out. We were lucky enough to have you and your amazing templates already started and to build off of to sort of, you know, having that baseline was really, really important and definitely something I would recommend to anyone doing an office move, is to just sit down and write everything down or utilize Hannah and the templates that are available to build off of from there and then customize to suit your office move. I mean, this has been an incredible move for me. I've done one office move prior, but it was on a much, much smaller scale and into a completely serviced office. So there wasn't as much that I had to focus on. We also had a facilities manager as well at that point, so who sort of took the reins on that aspect of the move. However, this time, obviously, it was myself, it was Hannah, working directly with the landlords and the C-suite to try and make this happen and bring it over the line. I think, again, coming back to that first interview and having that good energy with the people you're interviewing with and with the company and sort of having that general understanding of what they were looking for and what they wanted made it a lot easier to then just say, right, let's build out a design pack, which I've never done before, and trying to put these presentations together to then explain to our contractors what exactly we're looking for, with having been in the company for 2 weeks, you know, and having to have that understanding of exactly what the company's needs are, and just making it work. It's been an incredible process. It's in a beautiful office. I think I've learned so much through it, from, like I said, having to build out design packs. I've been very lucky previously to have seen a lot of design briefs in the marketing agency, so I sort of understood how to portray what look and feel we were after. We're also really lucky we've got a great IT team on board, an external IT team who we could talk to and discuss about what we needed with regards to requirements for and ensuring that we had enough across the board to fill seats, regard to access points and all of that stuff. I found some incredible suppliers as well for our AV equipment, who just basically provided me with everything, all the information that I needed to then get the ball rolling and to be able to take to the C-suite and just say, this is what it is, this is why we need it, this is what's missing currently, yes or no. And luckily for us, we had a really positive and engaged C-suite that were willing to let us do what we needed to do ultimately, but also provided us with the approvals that we needed to make it happen. It's been a great, really great experience, as challenging as it has been. At the same time, there's always your few challenges. We've had some problems with AC and water and a few other areas that needed addressing rather quickly. But again, we brought on another really great contractor to support and who've been incredible. So I think putting my trust into other people, but also allowing those other people to have that trust in me to make sure I got it done properly, was a crucial aspect. And I think, Hannah, I don't think we could have done that without you, to be honest, because you've been absolutely incredible. Very grateful for your support through this process.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. And that's not why I brought Jess on, just to be very clear, not to to toot my trumpet for me, as it were, but just to give people that are listening, because I know I was in the thick of it with you, was engaged with your company as a client from late in 2023. And I know what size office you had before versus what you've moved into. So just to give them an idea, either in square footage or the ratio of how much you've increased by with this move, share that with everybody for me, Jess.
Yes. So we were definitely far beyond capacity in our last office. I think we had enough seats to fit about 64, and we had 2 meeting rooms. So we've now moved into an office that seats 130 with, I think, 7 or 8, potentially more meeting rooms, which is insane. Square footage wise, I think we've about tripled, if not more than that. So it has been a massive shift. So, I mean, not only, I think it's very easy when you're doing an office move to focus so much on getting the new building up and running. And then you go, hang on a minute, I've got this entire other building now I need to figure out what to do with and clear out. And we obviously, ultimately, nobody wants to be paying two rents for too long because everything just, it adds up very quickly. So it was a matter of attempting to try and get this new office up and running to a point that it could function, people could start working in it, and then it was an immediate, no break, just shift back to the other office and figure out what to do with that space. So, yeah, it's been a very hectic process, but elated and so, so happy. And obviously having the space now to grow has been absolutely incredible and very well received by everyone.
Yeah, because they're not sitting on each other's laps anymore.
Not quite.
In an office that the aircon had packed in on over the summer, I think, as well, hadn't it? Your previous one. So it was all going on. So what would you say is the most enjoyable aspect of your role, and what's that looking like now following the office move?
I think looking at my history of my entire working career, I've always based everything I've done around people and interacting with people, looking after people, making people happy, wanting to plan things for them. And I think office management, this is another reason why office management just felt like the right fit for me, was because it was all about ensuring that everything was working for everyone else, for making people happy. The excitement on their face when we brought in a brand new coffee machine was exciting enough. You know, that was great. But I love to be that person that people can come to. I love having those answers, that knowledge that I can, you know, being that one-stop shop, basically. And that's what office managers are. We're just good at everything in a way. We know a little bit about everything. And if we don't, we know who to ask. And I think that's something that we should all be proud of, something we excel at. And it's what makes us a really good office manager, is just being a people person. We do a lot of event planning. We do travel. We also manage everything. So it's working, aircon, water, electrical. A lot of people are also front of house, reception, ensuring that visitors' needs are met. Everyone's got Wi-Fi information. It can be from the smallest, getting a glass of water, to the largest, ensuring electrical, the door's open and electrical's working. And it's so varied. And that's something I really, really love about office management. There's never a dull day. There's never a dull moment. And there's never nothing to do. That's exactly what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to sitting down now and working on Christmas and you know, building out information guides so everyone knows where to go for what's happening in the building, and just creating that really pleasant experience now for everyone coming in. So ultimately, you know, we've got it up and running, but now it's time to really start implementing these amazing moments, these exciting moments, and building out on that. So yeah, onwards and upwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so much, because you are the first person in this role for the company, but also because of this move, because of the scale at which the office space has grown, because there is quite a lot that you're responsible for there in terms of facilities management, because the building doesn't really seem to do much there for under the service charge, which tip people, always ensure that you're checking who does what, landlord versus you. But yeah, it's the scope for you looking forward is massive, and I really love that for you as well. How do you juggle both roles between your receptionist duties, because you do sit on front of house there, as well as the office management responsibilities? How do you prioritize each of those demands, from having to be the bum on seat at the reception desk to greet people versus the busy bee that's running around the office, as we know office managers typically have to?
In the nicest way possible and very respectfully, I have drilled it into my staff of what I need from them. Basically, I need to set the boundaries very clear from the start. This is what I need so that I can give you what you need and I can make it a pleasurable experience. For example, I'm very, very close with some of our sales team who are quite regular at bringing in visitors, for example. And I made it very clear from the offset. I'd even go up to them first thing in the morning and just double check, is there anyone coming in today? So I know 10 minutes before the visitor's arriving that I'm not fluttering around and running around. We're very lucky in this building that we have a main reception downstairs. So they vet anyone coming in, they welcome them, they'll log them, and then they'll send them up to us, and then I'll get a notification saying your visitor's on your way. So it gives me a moment if I am in that state of flutter, doing my rounds, saying hello, making sure everything's working and is turned on for the day, etc. It then gives me that notification, right, time to go back to front desk. And make sure that everything's, check the meeting room, ensure that everything's okay. I think another really important thing is to write everything down. I'm an avid writer. I've got my big A4 notebook with me constantly. I write everything I need to do down, even if I action it immediately, I'll write it down and then immediately cross it off. So I can say if I ever go, shoot, have I actioned that? Yeah, you have. You've already written it down. You've already crossed it off. Another really important thing is just to check everything first thing in the morning so that there are no surprises. Doing your rounds of the office firstly, but also then going on to the visitor logs section, check who's coming in today, what time are they coming in, what rooms do you need, are the rooms ready, is anyone in before them, etc. Trying to prepare yourself as much as possible so that there are no surprises, which means if there are any surprises, you're not trying to deal with everything else that could have been dealt with prior to that. Yeah, I think really clear communication, really clear preparation and planning is crucial to this, and just writing everything down.
It's funny, isn't it? Because as you were saying about the fact that you have this time between when the visitors arrive and when they get to you, it's quite a walk and a trek that they have to make. You're on the top floor of the building, the office space where you are. And it's quite a little trek that they have to make to you. I always thought whenever I was going there, I'm getting my steps in at least for the day, literally just trying to get to your office from the reception. So you do have time on your side just by the sheer nature of the layout of the building, which plays in your favour, I think, there as well. But yeah, there's some really good tips in there about the writing things down and getting it out of the head and getting it on to a safe piece of paper or post-it for any of our postie fans out there. It's now time, Jess, to hear an extract from your office manager diary. A you won't believe it, but moment, please.
I've been really thinking about this one. I think as an office manager, you become quite used to, it becomes quite normal for just strange things to happen and just becomes sort of part of your normal day, really. You become immune to being overly flustered in some senses. However, I do think what really impacted me recently, I found quite funny, is I think it was less than a week before we went live in this new building, our leak detection decided to go off. And
which ironically, if you don't mind me just interjecting, we couldn't find for weeks prior to that because it wasn't in the O&Ms, it wasn't detailed in there. We knew that there should be one because the building management had said to us, you need to put one in if you're drawing water, etc. And we couldn't find it. And then just one day, randomly, right at the back top left of the cupboard, behind some of the gas canisters, was the leak detection. And yeah, it started going off not long after that discovery was made.
Yeah, and obviously we needed to be there, but there was a part of me that was sort of like, oh, I wish we hadn't found it. immediately after we found it, it decided to cause havoc and not stop going off. So we thought, we initially thought, okay, no, we've found it, we've reset it, everything's fine. Come in the next day and it's off again. Okay, something funny is going on here. Get the contractor to have a quick look at it. Nothing, there's nothing leaking. Everything seems to be fine. No problem at all. Reset, everything's good. There's no leak. There's nothing. Nothing's the problem. Anyway, we go live. Everything's going lovely and smoothly, besides the fact there was no aircon, which we were also working on. And next thing I know, I was sitting at my reception desk. I hear this faint beeping and off the leak detection goes again. And at this point, it wasn't willing to reset. So it was off and that was it. It was off on its own little tangent. So,
and as a side note, it shuts the water off, right, as well. Yours is, yeah, is one of the cleverer ones. Some don't do it, but
yeah,
most new leak detection systems shut the water system off. So that means you have no water supplying your kitchen sink nor your cold, hot, chilled water tap.
Yes, no water whatsoever. We had just had this really beautiful new tap installed that did chilled, hot and sparkling water, which everyone was very excited to use. Nothing, no water whatsoever to our entire kitchen. Going back to the scale of the office, 130 desks, you know, albeit sort of sitting at about 100 staff all in that first week. Yeah, it wasn't ideal. So anyway, we get a plumber out, we get someone out to have a look at it. He pulls the system, the new tap system out. And there's nothing wrong with it, nothing wrong at all. Puts it back in, resets the thing, and then off he goes on his way. I'm in the next morning. The cleaners had obviously attempted to use the water and it had shut off for them as well. So they're having to go out to the landlord area to get water to be able to actually clean the building. So call the contractor again, get someone else out to come and have a look at the tap. Come out, have a look, nothing wrong with it. No problem whatsoever. They reset it, all's good, off they go again. I think they must have touched reception downstairs when the leak detector went off again. Anyway, they come back up, have a look. No, there's nothing wrong with it. There's no leak. Nothing's the problem. So now we're trying to figure out if it's water. Is it plumbing? Is it electrical? Nobody can seem to figure this out. Anyway, about four electrician or plumbers later, they test it, they find a little leak, they fix the leak, off they go. Great, we're happy. We're a week and a bit into this new office at this point. Next minute, I sent this lovely email around saying, hey everyone, water's fixed. Happy days. Everyone go back to normal. Now we can actually use the kitchen. Come in the next morning, leak detector's gone off again. So I took it upon myself to crawl under the sink. I pulled everything apart, pulled the taps out from the under the sink bits that were under there, and pulled it all out. And I just lay on the ground in the kitchen, just lay there for about 10 minutes, and I just watched. And then I was able to reset the leak detector so I could literally let the water go through the taps. And I just sat there and I watched. And lo and behold, after five plumbers at this point, the office manager finds a leak. And I think it was an aha moment, but also a real hysterical moment for a lot of the staff around me who were just staring at me confused as to why there was an office manager lying on the ground under the sink after having five plumbers come in and look at it. So obviously I called our contractor and I said, I found it. Long story short, we're not just office managers. We're not just health and safety managers. We're plumbers. We're electricians. We're HVAC support people. We're IT support people. We are everything. So I found the leak, got him in. He fixed what he needed to fix. And touch wood, we have not had a problem since. Cheers to the office managers out there for solving everyone's problems.
Cheers, the freaking office managers who just, it always makes me think of that thing that there's like a joke, isn't there, around how many people does it take to fix a light bulb or something? I can't remember the actual joke. So if anyone does remember it, do tell me. It is that, isn't it? It's like, how have you had this many people and some the same, some different, coming out multiple times and they haven't been able to do what you just observed in 10 minutes, albeit people questioning exactly what you're doing and whatever, but they know the length and the breadth that you will go to sort this shit out going forward. So well done you. Maybe a new vocation in plumbing?
Yeah, listen, I'll add it to the list. I'm going to go from office management to plumbing now. Corporate finance to plumbing.
Yeah, there you go. Electricity, plumbing, marketing, finance, the whole thing.
Tick it off. Yeah.
Tick it off. So how do you keep up with this ever-changing demand on office management and the ever-changing world of offices and workplaces and how they're used? You do have a hybrid policy there, but you do have people in, which I love to see when I come and visit, Monday to Friday. You've got bodies in the office. It's really nice and it's quite buzzy. how do you keep up with that world and all the demands and the changes in technology and everything else around these roles?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting one. I think the hybrid concept is fascinating, and I think it has been a real positive shift in the way people work. I think providing staff with the flexibility to have a life as well as working full time is really important, and it's been great to see. And I think I've found people more willing or more excited when they do come into the office to be visible and to have a chat. And not for everyone, but I think for some people it got a little bit tiresome at one point where they were struggling, whether it be commuting or just the effort and the toll it can take on people, say, such as having children and trying to get them to school but still having to be in the office and having to hire people to support them. It takes a real toll. So it's been really refreshing seeing that shift, and that shift in positivity as well, in when they do come into the office, putting their all in, maybe wanting to stay, wanting to pop to have a wine after work or so on and so forth. I think in saying that, from an office perspective, it can be really hard to manage when you don't necessarily have set days or hours and not knowing who's coming in at what time. For example, we have milk delivery, just as a really simple thing, something that most of the staff probably wouldn't think about. It gets delivered on a Monday morning and a Wednesday morning. And on our first weekend, I ordered way too much milk. So I got him to adjust it for the second week. I took two bottles down. And then the second week, I had nowhere near enough milk and I had to go to M&S and buy more. And then now we're in the third or fourth week, and I've gone back up to the original number, but we've still not got enough milk and I've had to go to M&S and buy more. And it's really difficult to juggle. In saying that, obviously something like milk is an easy fix. Luckily, being in a central London, in the St. Paul's area, it's easy enough to fix. But when you're talking about how many desks do we move into, how much IT bandwidth do we need, including IT printers, how heavily they're going to be used, is it worth getting more, is it worth getting less? It can be really difficult to manage. And I think there are some areas like the milk, for example, where people just, it's not something that has to cross their mind, and that's why I'm here, so it doesn't have to cross their mind. But one day I won't be here and we'll run out of milk. That's when it's that knock-on effect. So I think ultimately we all come back to communication, and it's communication with our management team, the communication for all staff as well. We do our best. We do our absolute best. We want everyone to succeed, and we want everyone to have what they need to have to thrive. That's not always going to be the case. There will be areas where we'll fall short, but that's when we just reflect from that, we learn and we grow from it. And ultimately, I think having that really good relationship with the staff and just saying, look, we're working on it, we're trying our best, we're doing what we can, but if there's something that's missing, or if there's something that you need, or something is not working properly, it's not going to change unless it's communicated. And again, coming back to being an office manager, being that front of house person that sees everything, you've got to be really friendly, you've got to be really open and really willing to take not always criticism, but opinions, changing opinions. The aircon's too hot, the aircon's too cold. And it's just about finding a happy balance. We want everyone to be happy, and we're doing what we can to make it happen. It's as simple as that, really.
Yeah. I spoke a couple of weeks ago about different types of fit out, and I wanted to share a little bit more now in terms of the office move process itself. So first of all, we will typically go out and search and identify which office spaces are suitable for us, and we may have a real estate agent appointed, which I really do recommend having in place. And if you are already a member of the office management portal, certainly for the London and surrounding areas, there are some great real estate agents and flexible office agents that we have in there. So we found some spaces that we like. We will negotiate on those spaces, or the agents will do that on our behalf. In tandem to that, it's probably wise to get some fit out contractors on board and get some concept drawings done of what that space could look like for you and your requirements, and make sure that you have got a really good fit out brief containing all the things that you want your new workspace to contain, from how many meeting rooms you want to see, reception desk and sizes if you're having one or not, breakout areas, extra rooms in terms of storage. You might have like wellness rooms or these kind of mixed use rooms where we see them being used as prayer rooms, first aid rooms, yoga, pressing rooms for returning mums, etc., etc. There's a whole host of things you need to give consideration to when you're doing these concept drawings: how many desks, how much power per desk, and all that kind of stuff. So grab those fit out contractors, get them in for some early design work here. And then once you have agreed terms high level on one of those spaces, the heads of terms will be put in place. And these are a very high level contract setting out exactly what you've agreed. So what you're going to pay per square meter or square foot, your service charge payments, your term, what breaks and notice periods and things you may well have in there, what's included, what's excluded. So they might have given you some rent free in there and maybe some carpet tile allowance or floor box allowances. There's a whole host again of things that go into these heads of terms that should be agreed. And from there, you then will want to appoint lawyers, commercial contract lawyers, or lawyers who specialise in property, commercial property leasing. And at the same time as that, you'll want to then tender your fit out contractor and really get to the nitty gritty of what you need and want there. Go to at least 3 or 4 is my recommendation. And then go through the license to alter process, which may need to come before the lease is executed and fully signed, or in line with that and or after the lease is fully signed and engrossments are issued, which is essentially where the final clean version of the lease is shared and signed by the parties such as yourselves and any landlords. Once the lease is signed and completed, you will have your completion date, which is where you can then access the property, commence your fit out, and you'll have a practical completion date of the fit out and a move-in date where you get all your staff and bits and bobs in there. You may also have a dilapidations piece where you need to exit previous office and arrange for either dilapidations work to take place to strip everything back to how it was when you first took occupancy of that space, or pay and walk away, which may well be easier if you're in the middle of an office move. So that is, again, quite high level, the office move process generally, certainly how it works here in the UK and a number of other countries around the world. Hope that's been useful for this week's tip. There's a lot to unpack there, working backwards. So totally agree. The old thing, you can't please everybody and you will get people. I remember I wasn't on reception. I'd cover for the ladies there if ever needed, but I had a team of receptionists and facilities assistants and things. And the ladies on the downstairs reception, we had flowers, fresh flowers delivered actually by plant plan every week. So Monday they'd come in, they'd go on the Friday as it were. And we had a lady called Donna. I very much doubt she'll ever listen to this podcast. I'm just going to name. And she would always comment on the flowers. Oh, I really like those today. Or, oh, don't like those this week. No, not for me. Don't like them at all. And you think, well, what freaking difference does it make to your working day whether you like the flowers or not? But it's just, people will just, especially I think in this country, there's this whole the weather's rubbish, the weather's too hot, the weather's too cold mentality, where we are a little bit dour and we are a little bit critical and a bit negative. And so I think that does come through, and we take the brunt of that in our roles, where yes, you can't please everybody, but equally we're a go-to person and we're this forum of, yeah, come and complain, you know, to me, and come and just tell me that you don't like the colour of the wall paint that I've just spent ages deliberating over, or whatever it might be. Or you don't like that new coffee machine, you preferred the other one that cost half the price. You're welcome. There's this whole thing. The milk thing, this is why I love doing these podcasts, because even though you and I have been interacting more or less daily for months on end now, it doesn't occur to me all the time or so much anymore, because I'm not in an office every day anymore and I'm certainly not running the offices. And I do miss that part of it, but also forget about these challenges in this hybrid world that, you know, not only can you not predict how many people you're getting in, therefore make sure that it's cool enough because you've got more bodies in and those kind of things, but the milk, like you say, is so basic. But actually, I know you said there, it's easily fixed. But you're trying so much in these roles to prevent that fix requirement. You're trying so much in these roles to prevent being firefighty and to be proactive, to flip it on its head. So it's really frustrating that you get to another week and it's like, oh, right, I've got to go out and order some more. And you almost need, I'm sure we had it at JP Morgan at some point, but we did have like this constant milk container thing, but then still that needs to be chilled and managed and cleaned and whatever else, but and filled up. But yeah, it is a constant battle. Maybe, although it's not nice, but actually something that's just come to my head compared to fresh milk is just you get those cartons of milk that just last in the cupboard. I can't think what they're called, but you know, they don't need to be chilled straight away only when opened and things. Maybe that's your backup. That's flipping it on its head. But yeah, I forget about all these things that come up and that have been presented since this post-pandemic world. So yeah, there's a lot there and some tips and nuggets in there as well, I think, that you shared, Jess, which are really important. What are your career goals now? What's the future hold for you?
I am really enjoying the path that I'm on currently. I think I'm in a really good track. I know I've still got a lot to learn, especially with regards to the health and safety aspect and the M&E management side, which I'm really looking forward to working with our partners, with our contractors that we've brought on, and really understanding and having a solid knowledge base around what's required, when, how often, health and safety policies and all of that really exciting stuff. I know Hannah, we did an audit on last week, didn't we? I'm really excited actually to start implementing this, because there's areas within every company that I think sometimes either lapse and don't get refreshed or are missed. And it's very easy to do, of course. But I think, you know, having that weigh on me now as part of my role quite heavily, rather than previously, as I said, we had a facilities manager. I didn't have to have as much involvement in it. But it's an area that is so much responsibility, but done correctly, you can be really proud of. And it's something that I really want to do, and I want to get to a good point with that area. I think the next steps for me, I would love to start looking at, you know, once we move into the future at line managing and sort of having, whether it be an office assistant or reception or someone, once we get to that point behind me, that I can really support and start showing the ropes, because I was really lucky that I had some really great mentors along my career journey this far. I'd love to be able to provide that to someone else. So that's sort of where I'm looking at this point in time. I think we're going to be in this office. There's going to be a lot to do in this office constantly, which is great and exciting. There's always something new coming on board, like you said before, with, you know, new technologies, new staff coming in, a lot more training to be provided. So yeah, onwards and upwards, basically. And I'm really looking forward to seeing where the future takes me.
All in the UK.
Yes, definitely.
I'll swap. I'll go to New Zealand. I'll swap with you.
I'm sure they'd love to have you over. My family would love to have you over there.
Done. Next year, I'm going to go to New Zealand. It's on my bucket list. What would you say have been your biggest hurdles to overcome during your time in this profession so far?
I think it's a really great question. I think, to be honest, I think for me, I think it's been self-critical. I think the biggest hurdles for me are, firstly, was leaving the beauty industry, feeling like I was wasting 2.5 years of studies, not working in an industry I've spent so much money to learn. That was really difficult. You always feel like you could be doing more, and you want to do everything to the best of your ability. And circling back to when you get those little complaints from people, even if it is just we've run out of milk, or it's too hot in here, it's too cold in here, every time, you know, as much as you want it to not affect you, sometimes it can affect you. And I think it's very easy when you are the person that people come to complain to or to provide opinions on, to take that personally. And I think that's something that I've had to learn and be really strong about over my career path, is to not take those things personally. It's not in my control all the time to be able to fix. For example, when the water was broken, I was running down to M&S with staff constantly buying bottles and bottles of water so that people had fresh water. We could fill up the coffee machine. It was, you know, again, something so simple that you just expect to naturally have. And when you don't naturally have it, and having had so many people out, I had exhausted every avenue. There was nothing else I could have done at that point until I lay on the ground and looked under the sink that I could have done to have resolved that issue myself. But it still really takes a toll, and it makes you feel like you're failing as an office manager, that you can't provide the most basic necessities. But I wasn't failing. I've covered every basis. I contacted every person that I could think of to contact. I had people looking at it. So ultimately, I think we just need to be a little bit lighter on ourselves, not be so self-critical, and allow things to change. I think another thing is, I, looking at my past, I jumped jobs quite a bit at one point in time, because ultimately, again, I was in the beauty industry and I didn't know, I wasn't fitting quite right. And I think that was because it wasn't necessarily the role that I wanted to be in. I wanted to be move into a slightly different area, but had that attachment to the industry. And I think, again, it's really easy to be self-critical when you're not enjoying something. You can't stay in it if you're not enjoying it. You have to make a change. And I can see how that looks for recruiters looking at a CV and seeing multiple jumps on a CV. But I think if most recruiters allowed the candidate to actually disclose and explain each jump, you'd see why there was a jump. And I think I struggled with that a lot as well, because I just didn't know what I wanted to do and I didn't know where I was going. And then I sort of started slowly building out this path very unintentionally. I didn't expect to be working for an electrical company after coming from beauty, but it happened. You just have to go with the flow, basically, and allow yourself to be removed from a situation that you're not overly enjoying, and not allow others to feel any form of judgment from that, or not allowing that judgment to get to you, because ultimately you have to do what's best for you at the end of the day. So as difficult as it can be, I think you need to look after yourself first.
100%. Again, a lot in there and some really good tips about self-doubt and self-criticism, which I think, again, probably very common with office management, is that we care so much about what we do. And if we didn't, we probably wouldn't be able to do it, or we certainly wouldn't be as effective and impactful in these roles. But I think the opposite effect of that is that we care so much that when it does go wrong and when things are out of our control, it's incredibly frustrating. And we do take it on the chin. We do bear the brunt of that on our shoulders, and we probably put most of that pressure on ourselves rather than actually anyone else. So yeah, I think that's really important to understand, that it's one of those things where I gave it my best shot. I did everything I possibly could. And if you know that, and you know you've done the best you possibly can within your ability, within your time frame, within your skill set, within your knowledge, within your contact database and everybody that you've been able to reach out to like you did, what else can you do? And there must be a solution somewhere, but just take the pressure off and reach out for help as well from others. It's really interesting about that jump as well, because I was a bit of a jumper. I think three and a half years was the maximum I ever stayed in any role, which was at JP Morgan. And prior to then, it was 18 months, 2 years at best. I always stayed at least a year. To me, that was my minimum in my head, because I know that there is that skepticism around, and something that people look at, and I look at it right when I'm recruiting as well. But yeah, having had those conversations with people that do have those gaps or do have the jumps, you should identify and really establish what the background of that was and why. And I always did it because I wanted challenges. I was easily bored, which sounds really mental, but I would do stuff, I would get things in place, and then I'd be like, right, what's next, give me the next thing. And I wanted to meet new people. I wanted to learn different industries. I wanted to work in different places in London. So Yeah, I always hit that point where I was like, right, I think I've had my time here. I think I've done everything I can and made the impacts I can. So I'm not really a sit still kind of person, and it doesn't sound like you are either. So.
I'm exactly the same. And I think, yeah, like you said, I'm also one of those people that can get a little bit restless. I'm always looking for the next challenge. And I do find sometimes when I take on a new role, I also think I was quite scared to strive beyond what I could do or what I am capable of. And I think I always seem to apply for jobs or go for jobs that were sort of just in line with what I was already doing. But in doing that, I would absolutely tackle this role within the first 3 months or 6 months, so on, and then hit that same level that I was at previously, when in reality, what I should have done was sort of aimed slightly higher and proven that I was willing to work up to that. And that would have given me that knowledge and that baseline to build off of. And I think that's what I've been really lucky to do here. I think I came in with a little bit less office move or M&E health and safety experience than what was typically required, but also had that mindset of wanting to do that and wanting to get better, being very willing and open to learn and learn quickly. And in doing so, it will, you know, it'll set me in stride for in future. So yeah, it's easy to do. And I think ultimately, if it's not the right role, it's not the right role. But I think people will just need to have a little bit of patience and understanding and empathy around how people's career histories work. And look, I think gone are the days, not completely, but I remember my papa, he used to talk to me and say, well, you're moving jobs again. And it's because he started in a job at the age of 17 and stayed there for 50 years. And that was sort of just the way things were. We've sort of hit a point now where people want better and they want to strive for more and they want to do more and take on more responsibility. And ultimately in doing so, that sometimes leads to a move or a shift.
Don't want to take us down this rabbit hole, but I also think it's not just a generational thing, but I think it's about women in the workplace as well and making sure that you are in the right place and the right fit and equal fit and everything else around that whole shift since our parents were in the workplace and everything else around that. So Jess, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for being on the Office Manager Diaries with me.
Oh, thank you, Hannah. I've really enjoyed it.
This episode is sponsored by the Office Management Portal, our free online membership platform aimed at connecting, supporting, and empowering office managers in a simple to use, all-in-one self-service resource. You can sign up right now at www.theofficemanagementportal.com and click the sign up button in the top right. If you want to upgrade your account to our premium membership at any time for unlimited downloadable templates and monthly expert masterclasses, use the code THEOMD for 25% off. That's THEOMD for Office Manager Diaries for 25% off. Thank you for listening.